Hello, everybody. Welcome to Roleplay Balance of Power. The Light Side returneth. This is week 16. I don't know what Light Side episode it is, so you're going to have to figure that shit out on your own. But it's week 16. As Zeke was saying before we started, I feel like I haven't seen any of you since episode 3 came out. So how's everybody doing?
Pretty good.
It's been a long time. Very well.
It has been a long time. I think it's been like 2 months. So. Yeah. Things are happening. There have been occurrences. I know there was a convention of sorts. Did anybody go to conventions in the meantime? What's been going on? How is everybody?
I went to PAX West, and that was fun. I had fun time there.
I wanna ask you. So the one thing I wanna mention, Zeke, I saw a really adorable video of you and your mom.
Oh.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? It was so cute. The video was so good.
Well, what happened was I had planned to do this, and I like came to the realization that when you go to like conventions and you're doing all this kind of stuff, you forget like days. And I looked at my like the clock that I use, which is my computer clock, and it has the date right underneath. And I went, "Oh shit, it's 9/8. Tomorrow's mom's birthday. Fuck." And I've been planning on doing like a gift money stream, like open up to the chat to say like, "Hey, my mom's birthday is tomorrow. All the tips that I'm going to get today will go to my mom." And whatever, if it doesn't reach 1,000, I'll make sure it reaches 1,000. I'll put in my own money, whatever. And they just came out in force. They were like, "Zeke, mom, we love her. You know, she calls into the show," or she doesn't call into the show. She calls me and I answer and I put her on speakerphone and ask her questions like, if a guy was dying, would you give him a blowjob to save his life? And she was like, "Oh yeah, absolutely. No problem." And I was like, "It's a stranger." She's like, "Yeah, it saves his life." And I was like, "That's my mom. That's my mom for sure." So she calls in from time to time and they kind of know her personality and whatnot. So I opened it up and they just came out in force and gave her lots of money. And I was like, "Shit, this is way over." And I already had got her a present. Like I got her a sweater, like one of my sweaters and stuff.
I saw that in typical Zeke fashion, you had this like beautiful moment with your mom where you gave her like Chat's gift and then you're like, "Yeah, I got her a sweater too," which, you know, sucks and I'm a jerk.
Yeah, exactly. Like my present is dog shit compared to like the money you guys gave. And that's like, I got a little hate about it. It's like, "Why don't you give your mom a present? Why don't you, you know, donations?" Like, it's not donations. It's just like, it's a dessert thing. It's like, if you want to, go ahead. I mean, I do my fair share of, you know, fucking altruistic work, so eat a dick, everybody. Sure. That was hating on me for it, but it turned out to be great, and she cried immediately. She was like, "Oh my god, you guys!" And it was the fucking best thing ever. It was the first time on the broadcast, like in person too. So, but she also called it. She was like, "You're gonna make me get on the broadcast today." I was like, "Yeah, I am." She's like, "Well, I'm only going to do it for like 10 minutes, okay?" Ended up staying for 2 hours. She had a blast.
That's great. That's so cute. Yeah, that video warmed my black little heart. So thank you. That was great.
Yeah.
So now you're going to make the rest of us look like chumps who are just doing nothing. Co, what have you done for your parents lately?
The guy that went to Burning Man.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I was just gonna say,
my parents were not invited to Burning Man.
I had a short, skip my story and go to yours, Adam.
A short conversation with my father, who I don't talk to very often, over text message. He was like, "How was Burning Man?" I'm like, "I have no way to express it to you that you will understand."
That's why I want to talk to you about it.
I guess it was fun. Zeke, have you been? I heard that you might have gone before.
I've been twice, yeah.
Nice. When was the last time you went?
It's been 3 years since my last burn.
Cool. Well, this is my first one.
I might forego PAX West this coming, like a year from now, to go back.
Is that how you say it? It's been 3 years since my last burn?
Is colloquially referred to as the burn. Yeah.
The burn.
Your burn. Like it's been, your like, experience.
My last warp, you know?
It's like, it's like shortening down your experience at Burning Man. Like your last burn.
Do you have to book it way out in advance, like January? Like it sells out fast, right?
Well, you got to buy tickets, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Coachella.
Yeah, you can apply for like a low income ticket or whatever. They have like they've set aside some tickets for folks who can't afford the like higher income ones. And as I understand it, there are like special tickets where you can pay more so that you can help subsidize the low income ones, which is really cool. So if you're like one of the hyper rich douchebags who like buys a bus to go to Burning Man, you can also pay like $1,000 for your ticket so that other people can afford to go.
So yeah, they get theirs early. You can pay more to get yours early and guaranteed, like, because like they have a lottery system for the you know, the main ones.
Yeah. Can I just ask a really dumb question about Burning Man?
Absolutely.
How much of it is like Malcolm in the Middle?
Was there a Malcolm in the Middle episode about Burning Man? Was there?
Yeah, because
the kids wanted to like sneak away to go. I recently watched this episode. And so the parents are like, as a punishment, they're like, we're going to go with you. So the parents go with them to Burning Man and they take like an RV and they set out like turf and everything. And they're like grilling. And then all the people are standing around, all the like Burning Man attendees or whatever, standing around and just like, I think he's making a commentary on like the plight of the American people, and, like what he's doing and stuff. And he's like, why are you watching me? It's great.
There is some pretentiousness that. For sure. There, I mean, there's definitely those fucking pretentious assholes, but for the most part, like, I don't know what your experience was, but it was just like a feeling of camaraderie and party in the desert.
I think the thing is that everybody goes is like kind of a nerd about something. Like they're people who are like really invested in some part of it. And for some people, they're a nerd about like getting shit faced and listening to Skrillex at 4 a.m. But for a lot of people, it's like, I'm a huge nerd about engineering this like art car that shoots fire or making like my camp. Like I mentioned this on an earlier show. There was a camp that basically they were all in character as like Fallout characters the whole week. They had a camp that was like, they had a big like fence they set up around their camp. They built a vault door out of like wood and styrofoam and stuff. And they like just wore like vault suits and Raider gear. They kitted out all their bikes with like Raider stuff and just were like, yeah, no, we just came out of a vault and hey, Burning Man's here. What's this about?
We should do that only like Mad Max. And then we'll just have cars that light on fire and we'll put somebody with an electric guitar on top. And then we'll just run around like trying to run people over or not. But
You saw the octopus, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, definitely. I saw it a few times. Do you ever fight anybody in the Thunderdome, Zeke?
I fucking wanted to, but everybody pussied out on me. I was like, I'm going to fucking get in the Thunderdome. But like, everybody was like, not with you. I won't, because like, I don't blame them. Rightly so. Like I might've taken it a bit too
soon. All right, you know what? Let's do this. Let's make this agreement, Zeke, that if next year we both go to Burning Man, I will fight you in the Thunderdome. I'll fight you. Oh,
God. Dude, were you part of a camp, by the way?
Yeah, it was just a little one, though. We didn't have any, like, big weird theme or anything.
No, that's fine. I mean, I would love to go with a little camp.
Yeah, dude. Let's do it. We'll go and we'll hang out. We'll have some beers, and then we'll fight.
Fuck yeah. Adam, were you part of the – there was a name for it when they, like, attacked the high-end camp or something?
No, I only heard about this after the fact. Yeah, these kinds of things happen occasionally because it's kind of like an anarchic space. And so when people try to do stuff, there's always like, I think last year or the year before, somebody climbed up the man and lit it on fire at the beginning of Burning Man, which everybody was really upset about. Guy got arrested for arson. But there's always stuff like that where people are just like, no.
Wait, isn't it they're supposed to set it on fire, but he set it on fire too early?
Well, I mean, it wasn't his to set on fire, I think, was the thing. Yeah. Oh, okay. It was just some random dude.
We were going to set that on fire. You're not allowed to set it on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I would be upset, too.
You set it on fire too early.
Yeah, if someone else stole that from me, I would be upset.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Exactly. But no, I didn't get to see that until I heard about it after the fact. But I mean, the thing is, like, it's a city of 60,000 people, so you miss stuff. Things happen. You don't get to attend to them, but. Yeah, this was the first year that I didn't go to PAX, so I've been like furiously catching up on all the like nerd shit, which is, it's interesting. I feel like it's almost as good as going to PAX West at this point. Like, I'm not feeling like I missed it too much. But did anybody who went have counter that experience for me? Did you guys have like, was there something happened that PAX was great, or was it just kind of like another crowded Seattle week?
There were a lot of good games there this time. Which was kind of nice. Like with Final Fantasy around the corner, Dawn of War, they had a big Dishonored 2 thing, the new Resident Evil. Like, this was one of the first PAXes that I actually had a good amount of time to go around and play games. And there's a lot of good stuff coming out soon. That was kind of nice. But outside of that, it was a pretty standard PAX.
Yeah. They moved Final Fantasy, right? Because they heard it was the TwitchCon was happening when the release date came. So they're like, no, we got to wait and we got to release it later.
I'm pretty sure that's the announced reason. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that. Cool. Thanks, man. You're the best. Yeah. So it was, there was lots of good games. That's cool. Cause sometimes, yeah, sometimes it's like you go and it's like, okay, well, it's every, you get wait in line for a bunch of stuff everybody knew about already. So that's cool to hear that there's some good stuff coming out.
Yeah. I think for me, it was different because I like went out of my way to schedule myself to do new things rather than just kind of have my regular PAX experience. So I think for me specifically, cause I did a lot of stuff on the PAX Arena stage, like Ko and I played For Honor. And then I did like a Gears of War 4 thing, which was surprisingly fun for like a, I'm not a console shooter person really, but I had a lot of fun with that. So, it was pretty fun. And then I also went to Gamescom like,
oh yeah, that's right, right.
Like a week or so before that. So that was also really fun, but it was just, I played Eichenwald, the new Overwatch map, for like an entire week straight. And that was it, but it was fun.
Yeah, I played it right after Gamescom, and basically chat was just like, okay, we're sick of this map now. Gamescom, yeah. I'm tired of seeing this stupid castle.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I was gonna ask Caitlin what she's been up to, but she has company.
I'm just loving this, like, people making coffee, having faxes, like talking behind her at the water cooler, like, you see the new Game of Thrones? It was great.
so how is it being a cast member of the reboot of The Office, Caitlin? How's that going for you?
I'm kind of waiting for any moment for her to lean and be like, are those little people on your screen?
Yeah, who are you talking to? Are you in a business meeting?
So great.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Caitlin can communicate with her facial expressions. I think that we know what's going on there. Yep. Yep, that exactly. Thank you, Caitlin. So, yeah, it's been a while, hey? Thankfully, we managed to end at the end of a mission, right? So we can just sort of talk about what's happened. There's been some time since the capture of the Imperial Intelligence Agent and her defection to the New Republic. Y'all have had a little while among the fleet before you were redeployed. And you got a chance to obviously spend some of your experience. Was there any other like projects that y'all took on? Did anybody have anything else? I know Zeke, you have some stuff that you wanted to do. Let's start with you, because I know you're undergoing some retrofitting.
Yes. So I spent all my experience points and all that stuff. So I upped some things and you know, put some points in some coercion, because I felt like that was a good choice, like RP choice. Like, I'm learning more about like human interaction and how they, you know, react to like certain words and yada, yada, yada. So I put some more in coercion because of the base, the bunker incident.
Yeah.
But technically, like right now, I wanted to mod, like kit out my fucking blaster. Like if I could pimp it out like mad, it'd be awesome. But I had some questions about that.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
In order to, like, it's the blaster actuating module, or BAM. found on page 200 of the player's guide. It's okay. It says like, okay, on all the mods, it says you have to make a hard mechanics check. It says you have to buy a toolkit, which is 100 credits.
Yep.
And then you must succeed at, okay, it says PC must also have a toolkit, access to a suitable work area for a suitable amount of time, and 100 credits with which to buy the parts for the mod. So I'm wondering, since like, are we going back to a base of some sort where I can just, like, there's toolkits available, I don't have to buy one?
Definitely. You'd be able to use the Republic fleet's, like, mechanics bay to do any of this work.
Okay.
So what, first off, though, what kind of blaster is it?
It is a ranged light blaster.
Okay. Is it a heavy blaster pistol, carbine? Like, what?
It is a, hold on. It is a blaster pistol. I know that. Hold on. It is a,
I just need to check how many hard points it has, is all.
Right. It is a blaster pistol, hard points of 3.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So you got lots of space to modify it. You can throw a scope or a whatever, a BAM on there, put some BAM on it.
Right. Here's my question. It says, two damage plus 1 mods, 2 weapon quality pierce plus 1 mods. That means I can do 4 mods with a blaster action module total, right?
Yeah, the blaster activating module takes up one hard point, and then depending on how many successes you get on your result, it will add a different additional stuff. So if you can just get one success, then it gives you a modifier of, let's see, plus one damage, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And then if you get advantage on that roll, each advantage allows you to buy an additional modification option.
Okay, so it's one roll for the whole shebang.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So the way the install mod works is you make the check, the hard mechanics check. If you succeed, you get the base. The second and subsequent mods are added to the attachment. The process becomes more arduous. Each additional mod attached. It just increases the difficulty. Okay, so you tell me how many you want to add, and then that increases the difficulty accordingly. So let's see, modify the attachment, benefit from the bonuses. Cool, okay. Yeah, that looks like that's how that goes. So you want to mod it with that blaster actuating modifier thing. What else do you want to add to it? From that list.
Okay. So, here we go. Hold on a second here.
Oh, that's funny. So it by default increases damage by one, but adds one black die to all the checks made when using it, because it just, like, you're just overclocking the firing mechanism.
Right. Exactly. But I mean, if it does more damage, then, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, that'll negate it. So I can buy the module and put the base on it, increase weapon damage by one, or yeah, increase the weapon damage by one, adds black square to all checks made when you use a weapon. I can do that without rolling, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then when I roll, it's for the modification options.
Yeah, it appears that way. So it's a little unclear. You attempt to customize if you want to customize the attachment, I see. So you can just plug it in and take the base thing, but if you want to use the other mods on it, you can make the roll.
Okay, and that's what I want to do. So if I go for two damage, like the two optional damage, is that three damage plus total?
Yeah.
The base and two for the extras?
Yep.
Okay. Okay,
that's right.
And it's I don't add a blacks die for every mod.
Just for the BAM when you first install it.
So if I want to roll for the two extra damage, I make a hard mechanics check with what else?
Yeah. So the attachment is free, and then how many mods? You're adding another two of the modification options?
Yes.
Okay, so the second and subsequent mods on the attachment become more arduous. Each additional mod increases the difficulty, so it would be a difficulty 4 mechanics check.
Okay, so four purple dice total.
Yes, so the first mod makes it 3, and then you add one more to make it 4.
Okay.
Okay. The confusion was that the thing is an attachment. The attachment has mods. You roll for the mods, not the attachment.
Gotcha. Okay. So I roll a mechanics check versus 4 difficulty.
Correct.
Okay. And as far as money goes, do I spend the money?
No, I don't think you need to for this. I think the Republic will front the bill on this one.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, here we go. well, adding that last purple dice makes one of them a 12-sider, so he could have a catastrophic failure. That's fucking, I love it. Okay, here we go. Mechanics check. There we go, and I'm pretty good. Oh, and also, on my mechanics checks, for a perk of mine, I can remove one black die. Does that even matter here?
There aren't any in this case. Okay, yeah. This would just be if you're using shitty tools or whatever.
Gotcha.
Trying to do it in the middle of a sandstorm.
Okay, here we go.
Ooh, all right. So the crit, the interesting thing here is that the crit, I think its success quality is negated because you have so many failures left over. So let's see, if you fail, you didn't generate any despair. Yeah. So it looks like you don't, because you got the crit, but the crit was negated by all those, the failures. You can't install the mods at this time. You're allowed to try again. Let me see.
It's like a life tangent. You would have done great, but you failed so much.
Yeah, you just failed so much. yeah, you can't install that particular mod on the attachment again. So you can't. You could make another roll for the other kind of attachments, but the damage ones are off the table for this BAM.
So about that modding.
Do you want to try? Do you want to try the what are the other ones that the BAM does?
Well, the base modifier is plus one damage.
Yeah, you get that no matter what. Okay. It's, and the pierce.
The other two are pierce plus ones.
Yeah, so you could attempt to install one or more pierce plus one mods on the BAM, but as it stands, okay, you're just getting the plus one damage and the plus one black die.
Okay. So I'll do that. Now, does that like mean that negates the first plus one? Or that entire roll was negated, right? So no mod.
You can't. Okay. Yeah, you can't mod. You still have the attachment, but you can't add additional damage. Those two damage mods are off the table now.
Okay, but it does have one plus one damage or not?
Yep. Yeah, you never have to roll for that. You can always just jam on the blaster activating module.
Okay. Yep. So if I roll again and I get like all the success I want, I can have my weapon in toto have plus one damage and plus two pierce.
Correct. If you succeeded the roll. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. We're going to do the same thing again.
It's the same roll. Yeah.
Yep. Two pierces.
Hopefully you won't do the same thing.
Fucking God. I hope not. Right.
Okay. Close enough. Jeez, man. So don't worry about the strain or whatever, like the ramifications of the threat, because we're doing this kind of off screen, would just come and go. So because you failed, best you're going to get out of this blaster activating module is plus one damage and one additional black die on the weapon.
Okay. So I have one damage and black dies.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you can add that. So it automatically always rolls that black die for you. If you under the weapon for modifiers, you can just put in, one BLK in that modifier section.
One BLK.
And then it'll auto roll a black die for you whenever you use that weapon. Cool.
Okay.
So your blaster is better now, but damage wise, but a little less predictable.
Fuck, man. Okay. Oh, I got to add another damage too.
Yeah. Don't forget to add the damage. Seven. There we
go. Okay. And let's see here. There was one other one.
Okay, cool. So that's all up today. So while you're checking that out, is there anything? Yeah, is there anything that anybody else wanted to do during the downtime? Like, you can assume you had, like, it's sort of like there's an amount of time between movies. It doesn't have to be clear, like 2 weeks passed, but like time has passed between the last time we saw you and now. So if there's anything that you wanted to get up to, also if you spent your experience, we can talk about that.
I Skyped you about how I spent my experience roughly.
Yeah. I did. I mean, I know already. And if you want to keep that on the DL, that's cool.
And then so for my character, I would say that maybe no one in the party really knows where my character is being. Mm-hmm. Like, I reply to comms, I reply to messages, but my actual location has been kind of unknown. And even people that, maybe there's one person that was really close to me, they haven't heard from me at all. I'm just kind of off the radar.
Cool. Okay. So secrets going on with Gunner. Gunner has gone off to do something. Maybe he's been deployed on a mission. Maybe he's in training, but y'all haven't really been in direct contact.
It could also be as boring as just brooding. Just saying.
Yes. Also that. Yeah. Sitting. Yeah, totally. Finding a planet where it's never daytime and just sitting on a roof and staring at stuff.
Damn, that sounds cool.
Where it's always raining.
Yeah, exactly. So, just sit in the edge zone and hang out and wait for your next mission.
Like, Gunner wasn't anime enough already.
I can see it. Like, I can picture the anime scene right now.
Right.
Yeah, it makes a great GIF to post on your MySpace profile.
Oh God.
So Tara, what have you been up to since your last mission? I mean, you were the commander of the mission, so you were lauded for, I mean, I think all of you were decorated. Well, not Zeke, because we don't give medals to droids, but everyone else.
They're not real people.
They're not, though. They're like actually just property. So like literally not people. I mean, probably someone said to Kes, like, hey, nice droid, but that's the best you got.
And then she just laughed and said, hashtag droids live don't matter.
Yeah, like just you had to spend a lot of time hanging out with the gonk droids in the droid lounge, but you can't come in, you can't come in the VIP area. But Talra, obviously, like you got some military accolades for that, right? You were decorated, as was the rest of your unit, so you could put another little pin in your metal case. And I think after you were debriefed, basically the focus became on like detangling all of this military intelligence that now the New Republic has because of you and the access codes that your team gained. So what have you personally been up to after kind of being showered with praise?
So of course, Tara thoroughly enjoyed that, as one of his goals is glory, particularly being well-known and at least working through, and not only just being well-known, but being well-known for him for the right reasons. He wants to be a key player. And he knows he isn't right now. So seeing that little bit of advancement definitely improved him. However, one thing Tower was definitely trying to do is he wanted to kind of prep a bit more for the next mission. He, as a commander, got very frustrated with how out of control the situation he felt in a lot of the last missions. And mm-hmm. even though he knows it's not going to do too much good, he's been spending most of his time kind of going to the movers and shakers he personally knows and like telling his story and letting them know, you know, like we barely made it out. It was a close call all the way to the end. You know, we need better prep. We need to send in more people ahead of time and stuff like that. And even though he's doing all this, he kind of knows in the back of his head that not much is going to change. But if there's anything he can do to kind of make the next guy going on that next mission of that type and have it a little bit easier, that's kind of what he's been trying to do.
Right. So you've been doing, you've been doing things that Bothans get shit for all the time, right? Is that they're considered overly political and like, you know, you're kind of stirring the pot a little bit by implying that New Republic High Command didn't prep you properly. But also, yeah, you're creating a space in which it's maybe safer to go on these missions. Yeah.
At the same time, Tower was trying to be as political as possible with it. It's not like he was going around and just kind of pooping all over his superiors, but more about, you know, working smarter, not harder, doing the best to get those prepared as possible going in.
Okay. Yeah. So your goal here is just to generally like you see it as like giving actual mission feedback to, you know, Republic High Command, right? And you're exactly. Trying to be like, so next time this mission comes up, here's some feedback that I have for how to like deploy troops and stuff.
Yes. Trying to be that kind of educator that in his mind feels even further raises that status, you know, getting back and not really celebrating the victory, but doing more work to make the next victory better.
Mm, yeah, I like it. Okay.
Throwing just a little bit of shade though? Okay. Cause just from like what I know of your character, I mean, not perfect, right?
It's certainly by definition, what he's doing is certainly going to make someone look not as prepared as they could have been. So although he was never throwing any shade himself, the actions indicate shade throwing.
Right. Again, very, very political. Look, I wasn't...
He very much cares about his reputation. So he's not going to do anything that's going to make people angry, but he makes sure to get a point across at the same time.
I wasn't technically casting aspersions, but if you infer some aspersion, that's on you. And I'd love to see Talra apologize for something. Oh, I'm sorry that what I said made you feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. Maybe do better next time and I won't need to apologize.
Maybe don't feel so sensitive about it. Okay, well, let's see how that goes, right? Let's have you make a, it feels like a leadership test, but maybe it's not. I don't know. That's kind of your call. Rally your allies, reassert the loyalty of underlings. Yeah, like it seems like a leadership test to me. That's a thing that you're good at.
Sure.
And so what would you say that your like the most direct immediate situation here for you would be if you succeed, you would get like some kind of benefit for your next mission. And so also with the Republic, like they would take on some of your feedback. And then as a group, like as a campaign, we would see your next mission, you'd have some better preparation.
Absolutely. I think kind of in kind of an OOC a little bit here, it'd be kind of interesting if it was kind of like a light side point almost. We're in a situation where it seems dire. It's like, hey, we prepped for this actually, you know, like that kind of thing. Right. But of course, you know, whatever you want.
I dig it. That's cool. So yeah, let's do that. If you can succeed, the mechanical advantage will be that, yeah, at some point in the mission, you could say like you have some piece of gear that we didn't talk about. It's a kind of like a free, like you said, like light side point in that very cool. narrow space. If you triumph on this role, then like you fundamentally change the way that the New Republic deploys special ops teams in some way. If you fail,
you piss off the wrong people.
Yeah, you probably high command is probably like, okay, buddy, like you had one successful mission, we gave you a medal, like
maybe shrink that head a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And if you get a despair, well, I don't know, you've damaged the Republic in some significant way. Maybe you've caused the bureaucracy landslide that like slows down some kind of chain, and people are now arguing about how to deploy, and people aren't getting the resources they need.
Basically, so in other words, this one role has global ramifications.
Yes, definitely. Look, man, you wanted to be important. So,
oh Lord. Okay. So how many? If I were to roll this, how many?
I think it's probably just three difficulty.
Three purple. Okay.
Yeah,
we'll call it three purple. Just three purple.
Yep, three purple difficulty, and then make a leadership test.
Here we go.
There you go. All right. So, I mean, I think that.
Dude, fuck you, man.
I think that,
and you know what? While I'm doing that, I just whip out my gun and mod it. Like right there, while I'm doing it.
While you're talking to somebody, just modifying your gun without even looking at it.
I don't even have a mod for it. I just mod it for fun.
Fun. Good. Well, all right. So Tal'ra, I think over the course of the sort of post-mission period, you develop a bit of a reputation for being a shit disturber. I think that's what that threat is, that like, it definitely increases people's opinion of you in this regard, that they're like, if they appreciate that, if they're like, yeah, we need people to like mix things up, then that's good. But if they're kind of like old guard, they might be like, oh, there's that Bothan causing trouble again. But you do get shit done, right? You get your success, and people listen. It's not necessarily like far ranging in the way that it could be, but it's a start. It's a definite start. And maybe at some point someone says to you, you know, you've got a long, bright career with the New Republic, and you've got a leadership role stamped all over you. You know, have you ever wanted to command like a platoon? So like people are starting to kind of see you as an up and comer. I can definitely envision a world where you're sort of removed from the front lines and put in command, but you're going to need to keep proving yourself before we get there.
Cool. All right.
Cool, man. So just, yeah, make a note somewhere that you have that sort of like call on point that you can use sometime during the mission. And then just let me know when you want to use it. Kestrel, what have you been up to after fighting this monstrous dark trooper and blowing up the bunker and escaping the planet and what have you?
And converting the enemies. So I'm kind of a restless person. I don't like sitting still for a long time. So I've been taking odd jobs and things like, moving products from one planet to another. Spend some time trying to do the Kestrel run in less than 11 parsecs. But, you know. Just kind of keeping myself busy.
And it's a measure of distance.
I know, but I can do it less than 11. I don't have my XP sheet is like on the other side of my computer, but I can look at spending some of that.
Sure.
I'm not going to spend everyone's time doing that, but I'll probably upgrade some things. I did have a question about the skills, like the general skills and stuff. How do we, because most of these are at the like two green dots, you know,
when I was
looking in the sheet about upgrading those,
correct?
Like how does that, I haven't seen anywhere where, how do you get like more of those?
Yeah, so basically you cap out at like a number of dice equal to your ability that it's based on. So like if you have a two in something, you can't get more than two yellow dice in that thing. So the first two ranks that you get in an ability, it will, or in a skill, it'll replace those green dice with yellow ones. So you can see that on your sheet, right? Like your resilience, your skullduggery, your discipline, those all have, they have an upgrade to the die. And then once you've spent those two, additional ranks will add green dice to the skill. So even though like your agility might be two, you can always bump your coordination up to more more dice. It'll just, they'll only ever be two yellow after that. So you can max out the skills that you use a lot. So you can max out like your range light to two yellow. And then if you wanted to, you could buy additional green dice by skill ups in those things.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what you mean by like you can max them out at two. Cause like, how do sure. I, where do I do that? Or how do I?
So the sheet will do it for you automatically. So as you add ranks, it'll first replace green dice with yellow ones, and then it'll add additional green dice after you've run out of dice to upgrade.
But how are we adding ranks? Cause we haven't done any.
Yeah, you buy those with your XP, and they cost, you can buy them for five times the purchased rank in experience points. So if it's a skill you don't have any yellow in, it's going to be five. Then the next rank will be 10, and then the next rank will be 15, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Cool. I'll probably just tell you up about this after then, so we don't have to do it on stream.
Yeah, that's fine. And you can do it basically like when you have that XP, you can do it whenever you want. So you could even do it before a roll if you want to. I don't really care. You could be like, actually, you know what? I could use an extra die for this roll. You can just spend it then. I don't really care. Okay. You've had lots of time to train, so you can kind of backhack it. Cool. Okay. So you've been keeping busy, right? Like trying to find like missions to do and kind of like attending to stuff in the fleet. Okay. Yeah. The Republic will put you to work. You're not, you're scheduled for like shore leave basically, but if you're like, nope, just put me back in, then they will.
Well, cause I can do work like outside of just the like government work, I guess, technically, you know, if I wanted to do some like smuggling or anything like that.
Well, and don't forget, you have a morally devoid droid that you right. own to help yeah. you along with this.
Yeah. We've been adventuring.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess that's the thing. If you wanted to do like a little, you know, imagine a little five-part like mini series or whatever where the two of you take on some side business.
Yeah.
That would totally be a thing. Yeah, let's make our role for that. So is that a thing you'd want to do? You want to like get your hands on a ship and do some smuggling while you
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool.
If we could get our hands on some cool gear, maybe a better blaster.
Yeah, so is your
you can't apply to your gun?
Yeah, some more mods you could fail a roll on. What's your goal for this? You want to make money?
Can I say like money and items? Or
Items? It's probably easier to go with money, and then you can spend it on money. Items.
I like money.
Okay, so you want to make some credits, some personal credits.
Okay. Shiny.
Let's see. So yeah, we'll just montage it. I'll have you make a piloting, maybe like a piloting role, like piloting space or something.
Okay.
And let's say every success you get on the roll, you can have 2,000 credits.
Nice. Okay.
Seems like a good way to kind of like montage through that.
Bum, 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 bum. What dice should I put in here?
Two purple. We'll call it just a regular difficulty. Okay. And then you can, if Zeke, if you are helping, if the adventures of Kes and Zeke are a thing, then you can add an extra blue die.
Yeah, and I Yeah, that's what I'm looking for is like upgrades for myself, like scrap that I can be like, okay, I can make this out of this and that kind of shit. But yeah, I'll definitely give you the bonus blue.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. All right. Yeah. So go ahead and add a blue die and two purple, and then roll your piloting space.
I don't have to take like a black die for these people pointing at us on the
No.
Okay. So one blue, two purple.
What's going on? Oh, rude. Someone gets up from their computer.
They just take pictures of your screen?
I know. They're like looking
so rude. I'm calling you out, pink shirt lady. Rude as fuck.
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead and make that.
Space piloting.
Okay.
What is that?
All right. So you got a threat and a failure. So you didn't actually make any money.
We didn't lose any money, though, did we?
You don't lose any. But that threat, I think in the same way that Taura is developing a bit of reputation, someone in High Command, like, noticed that you're like oh, they went just, like, left.
Wait a minute.
They just, like, took one of their
hold on a minute. She had to do piloting space?
Yeah. Because
I would make the argument, I have two ranks in that. Like, I would make the argument that I'd be doing the piloting if it's space.
Yeah.
So, the argument could be made that I would make that role. Like, I didn't know it was, didn't know it was a space piloting role. I thought there was, like, some, like, smuggle role or something.
yeah, role to smuggle. I'll
never use this, you know, piloting thing ever.
I'm on the fence about this, so let's let the force decide. I'm gonna roll a single force die. If it comes up light side, then yes, we can re-roll and you can make the roll, Zed. And if it comes up dark side, tough shit.
Okay.
Dark side. Okay. So yeah. You were too busy not modding your gun.
Zed was like, do you want me to pilot? No.
I got it.
Like, we like nearly cracked. But
Sergeant, I've been trained for this. I have many files on space piloting.
Zed, I don't need any of your lip right now. I just want to fly the plane for once in my goddamn life.
Unfortunately, Sergeant, I have no lips.
I'm glad you made that joke, Zeke, because I was going to if you didn't.
God, one day you'll understand.
Just saying.
Human phrases.
Removing my lips, Captain. So cool. Okay. So yeah, you don't manage to make any money. I think that you end up, like, you do a few runs and, like, maybe the first one is successful, but it's like Firefly, right? Like, you make some money, then the next run goes bad and you have to spend the money to, like, fix the ship, and then the ship gets stolen and then you got to rent another one, and there's all this, like, just, you know, wacky hijinks all around. And then we come back to you. And I think that, yes, someone in intelligence has, like, noticed that, you know, that you were missing. And maybe they have some suspicion that you're kind of running a side gig. But
you don't own me.
That's right.
God, no laws.
I don't think it's truly wacky unless there's a lot of Womp Rat references.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. That's the name of their ship. It's the Womp Rat.
The Womp Rat. Oh. Yeah.
It's only about 2 meters long. Star Wars.
It's not about the length. It's about the girth.
That would have been a much better response to Luke if he had been. If Luke was like, yeah, 2 meters. That's no big, little longer than a Womp Rat. And then someone else was like, it's not about the length of your Womp Rat, Luke.
Mm. No, it's how you bullseye them.
That's right. Star Wars is a family show, kids. So no dick jokes on Star Wars.
Quick question, Adam. I want the electric lockbreaker, but it's restricted.
Yes, we can make a roll. A certain droid on a certain other show got a hold of a stealth field. So fuck it, why not? Let's make the roll.
I can afford a stealth field. Jesus Christ, what are you giving these guys?
It wasn't so much about affording. It's fine. Oh. They're all dead now.
No,
so
never mind. Cool.
They're dead. So let's see, what's the rarity on that that object?
The rarity on the goddammit. Hold on one moment. It is seriously. Electronic lockbreaker. Rarity is 5, so it's not super
rare. Okay, it's not super rare. So an average difficulty. You'll have to make a negotiation roll at that difficulty to see if you can convince High Command to issue one.
A negotiation role?
Yes. I don't know that the word negotiation has ever been said with such spite before. That hurts.
It's like, one of like 5 skills that I have 1 green in.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, you have no presence at all, do you? I mean, you could have someone else do it. You could ask someone else to do it for you. You could ask Taura. And maybe Taura could do it. Not with that face, apparently.
How much, what's the difference?
In all seriousness, my negotiation is 2 green, so I'm sure someone has better.
Nope.
What's the difficulty?
With anyone, so.
It's a good policy. We don't negotiate ever. With anyone.
The difficulty is what?
They can't shoot it. I don't care.
2. 2? Bug it. Let's go. See if I can acquire it.
Oh, that's not the roll we needed to roll.
Hold on a second. There's no there's no purples.
Why was it should be. Try it again.
Yeah. Yay!
There you go. What? No, they're like, but these devices are questionable legality. The mission they have planned for you is a diplomatic one, and you're not going to need.
By the way, I'm getting all of these out of the way so I don't do any combat.
The episode is not going to be like this. I'm deciding that right now.
Yeah.
Using mental powers.
I'm going to stay away from rolling. Period.
Just that's fine. cool. Okay. So yeah, that's you're not able to requisition that particular piece of gear. Though what's funny is that later, if Ko wanted to, he could be like, oh, hey, I just happen to have this electronic lockpick that I got earlier with that roll he made. So we'll see. If you really need it, you might be able to get it.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm done now.
Okay, cool. If everybody has pursued their little personal goals, we can make the destiny roll, and we can talk about your next mission.
Sounds good.
Cool. All right. Let me make sure the pool is clear. Yep. Water's fine. Jump on in. Everybody roll a destiny point, and we'll see how many points I get to use against you. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Want me to roll for you, Zeke, since you're not about that anymore?
Apparently not.
Wait, no, that's
it. You rolled it in. It's okay. That's just the thing displaying. Oh, you rolled a blank. You rolled one of the blank sides, and it just didn't display the die.
What does that mean?
There's no, it would show.
A
blank
side. I
rolled
destiny. I rolled the dice in the middle. Let me try. There we go.
That's
Gunner's better. Brooding helped us.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah. So if it weren't for Gunner and there is brooding in the rain, I'd have all the points. But as it stands, I've got three destiny points, and y'all have two. So pretty even.
That's the second best.
Wait a minute. You're not dark side, though. You're neutral, right, buddy?
I mean, I just have those points to use.
We ask, our voices wavering. You're right.
It's true.
You're like a good guy on our light side shirt. And that's just that doesn't really align with reality.
Yeah, I mean, they should be switched, I think.
No, I think what it should be is Adam is dark side for us and darker side for them.
Look, man, I'm just a bunch of midichlorians. You don't need to worry about me.
Right.
Cool. Okay. So yeah, some time has passed. You've had an opportunity to pursue your own means. And while all of that's going on, in the background, New Republic Imperial or the New Republic Intelligence Bureau has been hard at work decrypting and decoding and deprogramming and working through all of this information that they managed to steal during the short window that you had both the command codes and access to the database, the Imperial database. So big win for Team New Republic, even if you only get a little bit. And Jalu Primark has been introduced into the sort of scheme. She's been taken to a planet like probably Coruscant for like deprogramming. Some are safe so that when the Empire sends their inevitable assassins after her, she'll hopefully be able to survive for a while. But as a result of all of that digging, you have some intelligence that's going to lead you to your next mission. And I think that probably what we'll do is we sort of start the episode on after the opening credits roll. We get, as you always do, this star field, and we pan down through a bunch of commercial starship traffic. So there's, you know, freighters bearing various logos of shipping companies, and it's obvious that this planet sees a lot of traffic, both in and out. And we pan down to the surface of Abrogado Ray. It's an inner world. I think it's one of the core worlds, but it's still, it's a core world. So quite close to Coruscant. It's along a major trade route, and it's one of the rougher core worlds, though. For a really long time, it was seen as sort of a smuggler's paradise. Recently, its current government has sworn over to the New Republic as a partner, and the Republic is really focused on like making it a place to sort of stage additional missions from. But the Imperial intelligence has indicated that this place is going to be a target very soon of some fairly serious Imperial destabilization. So the Imperial Destab unit, they're part of Imperial intelligence. They're essentially a terrorism unit. Their job is to go to planets who have a stable government and take it apart. So a lot of the intelligence has indicated that Imperial Destab is sort of gearing up to attack the planet in some way, probably through its civilian populace, and set them up for a future naval assault. They're talking like full fleet assault on a core world. So fairly serious business, but you have a bit of an advantage on it, because if you can get to it and stop Destab before they can set up their base, set up doing whatever terror activity they need to do, you could potentially prevent or at least offset the impact of this future assault. So you've been assigned to Abrogato Ray. Your mission that is before you is to find out. You're actually being sent with there's a bunch of other teams that are being sent to the planet. You're assigned to the Abrogato Ray spaceport. It's one of the two major settlements on the planet. And you need to find out the supply line here of the smugglers operating, bringing in Imperial gear. They're setting up these Imperial terror cells. You need to flush them out, basically. Find out where the weapons are coming from, find out what their plan is in the spaceport, and put an end to it before it enacts. Because if you don't, it's going to mean civilian lives, almost certainly. Destab does not care about war targets. They go after the softest, easiest to hit, and cause as much collateral damage as they can. Other teams are being deployed to other cities on the planet, but the spaceport is going to be your primary responsibility. And to that end, you're being given a squadron of commandos. You have 24 Republic commandos who are accompanying you on this mission. They're under your command. And you've been given a command post in the Abrogato Ray spaceport. So you have a little command center that you can use to send these guys out on missions and to operate from while you're trying to find out what's going on the planet. So I think that's where we see you when we get our pan down to the planet. The music starts and we see you all around a table, and there's like a hollow display of the spaceport showing, you know, various tactical information, and you all are around the table.
So our mission is to find out the supply line of the Empire.
Yeah, find out how the Empire is smuggling weapons onto the planet and stop them from continuing to do that.
You said that Destab goes for its weakest and easiest targets. Mm-hmm. Is that where Otto came from, maybe? Just like all Destab beforehand?
Harsh. Harsh, Caitlin. Well, we'll take a first break here, and hopefully JP will have recovered from that harsh burn by the time we get back. Stick around. We got more balance of power when we return.